Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse number 48. This started off to be a Bible study. It is almost developed into a brief sermon. But to me, it's one of the most beautiful, beautiful things in the Bible. I think if you'll listen carefully tonight, and I think I'll be brief, which means I usually preach twice as long as I would normally, but I do think I'll be brief tonight, but I want to give you what I think is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible, Deuteronomy 32, verse 48. Now, this story is about Moses not being allowed to enter into the promised land. He died before he went in because he had disobeyed God. He's 120 years old. He had been looking forward to this for many, many years. And now he comes to the very door of the promised land, disobeys God, and does not get to enter. He sees it from Mount Nebo, but he does not get to enter into the promised land. Look at verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that self same day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, and is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel for possession. Now get this. And die in the mount whither thou goest. God's talking to Moses now. You go up there and die, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Let me explain what he did. God had told Moses in the early days of the wilderness journeys, when the people were thirsting, God had told Moses to take his rod and smite the rock, a rock that was in Horeb. And God said, when you do that, I'm going to have the water gush out, and that water will take care of the water needs of all the Israelites, the children of Israel. God said, now, first I want you to smite the rock. Now, he said, after you've smitten the rock one time, I never want you to smite it again. I want you to speak to it. And you smite it once. See, Jesus is the rock. Paul tells us in the letter to the Corinthians, he's the rock. And this rock was a symbol of Jesus Christ, smitten one time. And then he said, from there on, you speak to the rock. Well, Moses did this for 40 years. Now he comes to the time of the entering in to the promised land. The people are a bit rebellious. Moses gets angry. And instead of speaking to the rock for water, he smites the rock again, second time. When he does that, he disobeyed God. And God said to Moses, you lost your ticket to the Holy Land. You're not going to go in. You'll go up to Mount Nebo, and you'll look at the Holy Land from Mount Nebo, and there I want you to die. I think it's one of the most beautiful things in the Bible. Let's go on. Where we end up? Verse 51? Did we finish verse 52? Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go in thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. That seems so sad to me. Here's a man who is 120 years old. 80 years he was trained in the palace of the king. Gave up the throne. He could have been the king of Egypt. Gave up the throne after 80 years. His life is divided into three periods of 40 years each. 40 years in training. I don't know if I may have said 80 a while ago. 40 years in training. Then 40 years in the desert. And then 40 years in the wilderness. And now his dream of a lifetime is before him in the form of the land of Canaan. He commits a sin, and God does not allow him to enter. Our Heavenly Father, I love this story. I hope the people will love it as much as I do, as I teach what I think is such a a God-like thing. I don't think, dear God, you're ever more like yourself than you are right here in this passage. Your judgment is shown. Your justice is shown. Your mercy is shown. Your love is shown. Your kindness is shown. Your patience is shown. Every quality almost that you have is shown in this little story. May we delight in it. Amen. I have in my hand tonight, fellows, turn me up just a tad, just a little bit. I have in my hand tonight, this is a paddle. It's called Grandma's paddle. It's the kind of thing that grandmas and grandpas spank their grandchildren with. There's some of these are called Grandpa's paddle. It has more, even more padding than the other. And it's the one that Grandpa spanks Grandma with. But it's but don't let me say what I'm thinking about right now. But this is let's see. Come here, son. Let's suppose you're my grandson tonight, and you've been a bad boy. I'm gonna let you have it. Got it? What are you laughing about?
I could do it like that.
See, here's the way your daddy does it, and here's the way your grandpa does it, like that. Okay, thank you very much. Now, I'm going to come back in a few minutes to Grandpa's paddle. Something beautiful. Follow me carefully. 40 years in preparation since he was found in the ark in the Nile River, the ark of bulrushes, and brought to the king's palace. Are you listening to me? He had been reared in the king's palace and was the heir, legal heir to the throne. 40 years. But Moses was not Egyptian. Please put your pens and pencils down now and look at me. I want to teach you. I want you to look at me. Moses was not willing to become the king. Bible says he chose reproach for God, greater riches than all the riches of Egypt. The Bible says that Moses rejected the opportunity to become the king of Egypt and did so to identify himself with a poor slave nation. The first 40 years of his life were in the palace being trained. The second 40 years of his life were spent on the backside of the desert alone with God. I won't go into why he was there, why I think he was there, but I know his heart was being prepared as he walked with God and got to know God. You see, he had 40 years he's going to spend in another desert, another wilderness, and God was getting him ready to lead those people in the wilderness by putting him 40 years in the desert. So 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the desert, 40 years in the wilderness. Now it's payday. He had looked forward to this day, the time to enter the promised land. These Jews had been for 40 years in the wilderness. Most of their fathers and mothers had died, at least those who were over 20, 40 years before. But now then Moses, at the age, ripe age of 120, comes to the zenith of his life. The most important thing of his life, the thing for which he had lived and dreamed, and the thing for which he was prepared, the time to enter the promised land has come. And who is more excited than Moses himself? Now he can, in his old age, enjoy the beautiful spectacle of the land that flows with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. He can enjoy the dividing of the land and the two pieces and being given to the 12 tribes of Israel. There had never been in all of history a more faithful prophet than Moses. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus was a prophet likened to Moses. Back in Moses' day, it said one likened to him would come talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally think that Moses was the greatest man that ever lived. I'm not saying he was the greatest Christian that ever lived. Paul probably was. But I'm saying he was the greatest man. Here was a man that could lead maybe 3 or 3.5 million Jews 40 years without any of the necessities of life. Nothing to eat but manna falling from heaven. No houses to live in. Living in tents. What a man. What a man. And now he comes to the zenith part of his life. On Jordan's stormy banks he stands and casts a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where his possessions lie. But something happens. 40 years ago, as I said a while ago, God had told Moses in answer to the cry for water to take his rod and smite the rock in Horeb. Now God said, you smite it and water will come forth. Now he said, the next time you need water, don't leave me now. He said, the next time you leave water, don't smite the rock. Speak to the rock. For 40 years, Moses did this. Now, all of a sudden, he's at the door of the promised land. The Jordan River is right before him, and Jericho is not far thereafter. And Moses suddenly loses his temper, smites the rock again, and in so doing, he must be punished. Here we find the justice of God. Now, why was Moses being punished? Follow me carefully. In the Bible, anything that God had pronounced sacred could not be profaned by man. Remember the story of Nadab and Abihu? Offered strange fire on the altar, and their lives were taken. Remember the story, I think it was Uzzah, who reached out to steady the ark, and no man was supposed to touch the ark of the covenant. When he did, he died immediately. Now, Moses had done something that God had said was punishable by death. So Moses must be punished. He will not get to cross the Jordan River. He will not plant his foot on Palestinian soil. He will not visit the city of Bethlehem, where Jesus someday will enter the world. He will not get to go to Jerusalem and go to Mount Moriah, which is going to become Mount Calvary. He will not get to go to the Mount of Olives, where Jesus shall ascend, from where he'll ascend. And Moses' dream of 120 years is suddenly and tragically shattered. He must be punished. Now get that. Let me have this platform represent the 120 years. For 40 years, he is in training in the palace. He identifies himself with his slave people, and for 40 years, he's alone in the desert. And then for 40 years, after he goes to Pharaoh and the people of God are let go, he comes to the end of he's been 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the desert, 40 years in the wilderness. And now before him is the promised land, his dream of a lifetime. But he profanes that which is sacred. And in so doing, God says, I've got to take your life. So God says to Moses, he says, Moses, get thee up into the mount and die in the mount. Are you listening? Get thee up in the mount and die in the mount. Now, this is a tragic thing. Today at Howells Anderson College, we saw a man who may be a dying man. We heard a man preach a marvelous sermon. If I had preached that sermon myself on the Word of God and about the King James Bible, Dr. Hudson said, all the other Bibles are false. And if I'd preached that myself, I couldn't have worded it any better than he did. But Dr. Hudson, he could not walk great distance. He walked about like this, and somebody had to help him. And he may be a dying man, but wait a minute. If he is, his wife was there with him today. And his son was there with him. And his daughter-in-law. And 2 grandchildren. And a dear friend in John Stansel. And they were there with him today. Are you listening to me? They were there with him today. Now, Moses didn't have that. This is Moses, the great leader of Israel, the man who got the law on Mount Sinai, the man who led the Israelites across the Red Sea, the man who fathered and led them for 40 years, the man who had gone to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Now Moses, he ascends Mount Nebo to die. No friends or family to bid him farewell. No one to watch his every look and catch his every word on his deathbed. See him as he leaves his people. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you be the Israelites for a few moments? And God comes to me and says, what's God call me? I'll let him call me Jack. Dr. Jack. God says, son, you've got to leave your people and die alone. Mrs. Hiles cannot be with you. No child or grandchild can be with you. No deacon board can come to visit you in your last hours. I thought today, if ever a man had an honor, Dr. Hudson had it today. And if he were to have passed away tonight, he went out in a blaze of glory. It looks like Moses could have gone out that way, but not so. God said, Moses, you go up in the Mount Nebo, and there you die in the mount. See him as he leaves his people. And as he ascends toward Mount Nebo by himself, knowing he's going there to die, I see him going to the throne of Egypt, giving up the throne of Egypt. As I see him go up to die, my mind goes back courageously, when he went courageously to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." My mind goes back to that time and God said, let your cattle stay here. And Moses looked at Pharaoh and he said, "Not one hoof is going to stay here." And I see Moses going back as I look at his life. I see Moses coming to the Red Sea and taking the rod and parting the Red Sea, or God parting it because Moses smote it with a rod. I see Moses as he ascends Mount Sinai and comes back with the tablets of stone. I see him as he hears the people singing and dancing, having made a heathen golden calf. And I see him as he takes that golden calf and casts it down and grinds it into powder and makes puts it in some liquid and makes the people drink the powder. And Moses said, he said, "Who is on the Lord's side? What a man! What courage! What a great man!" But there he goes, alone, to Mount Nebo. Those he had led are about to cross the Jordan and go into the Holy Land. But their leader goes up to Mount Nebo to die. He has to die. He has to die because God is just. And God had pronounced death for what Moses had done. And God, whatever else God is a just God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So Moses must die. And he goes up to Mount Nebo, looks out and sees the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey. He's being punished. Enter Grandpa's pedal. May I tell you how God punished him? In the first place, Moses had to die. Listen to me. Moses had to die. But God looked back and saw what he had done. God had recorded those 40 years in the desert. God had recorded his giving up the throne of Egypt. God had recorded his stepping down from the riches of Egypt, identifying himself with a bunch of poor slave people. God had seen him go from a palace to a tent. God had seen him go from the throne room to a desert, a wilderness. And God had seen him on Mount Sinai. And God had seen him part the waters of the Red Sea. And God said, "He's got to die, and I've got to punish him. But I'm going to use Grandpa's paddle." Let me tell you how he did it. In the first place, he didn't let Moses suffer. No illness. No lingering pain. No slow disease, no cancer that gradually ate away at him. God's punishing him. He must die, but God will not let him suffer. The Bible says he died according to the word of the Lord. God said, "Die," and Moses died. God said, "Come on," and Moses came on. He didn't get sick.
He had no temperature. He had no pain. He had no cancer. He had no heart attack. He had no suffering. He had no Hodgkin's disease. Moses is being punished. God's got to punish him. But I'll tell you something. When God punishes a faithful servant of his, he may make a mistake, but God doesn't use the same type paddle he used on somebody who's wasted his whole life. So here's Moses, and God said, I'm going to punish you. You got to die. But he said, I'm not going to let you get sick. Now when he punished some people, he punished them with leprosy. Remember King Uzziah, who did the same thing Moses did, entered the holy place and profaned that which was holy, and God smote him with leprosy. But not Moses. Moses died with Grandpa's paddle. Something else about Moses when he got suffered too. God buried him. He had a wonderful entombment. No mortal hands dug his grave. No mortal voice sang at his casket. No mortal tongue gave his eulogy. Not one person attended his funeral except God himself. Angels sang. Angels dug his grave. Not one person. God said, I'll take care of this one. I'll be John Ault and Forrest Depper, all wrapped up in one package. I'll be John Colston and John Ault and Forrest Depper. God said, nobody's going to be there when he dies but me. And God said, nobody's going to take care of the funeral service. I'll take care of the funeral service. Only person who ever lived that God himself buried. He was punishing him, but he was using Grandpa's paddle. That isn't all. As I said, angels dug his grave. Angels prepared his sepulcher. Angels set the casket in the grave and performed the last rites. And the Bible says angels guarded his body. Let me turn to it without your turning to it. Yet Michael, this is Jude, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but saith, the Lord rebuke thee. Now what are we saying? We're saying that the devil wanted Moses' body. Well, I'd like to give the devil so much trouble, he'd like to get my body and mess it up after I'm gone. I'd like for the devil to say, let me at that tongue. It's been yakking all this time about the Lord and about Jesus, been preaching all those times. Let me at that tongue. I want to cut it off. Let me at those legs that have walked down airports all across America. Let me at that voice box that's been preaching all across the country. Let me at that guy that caused me so much trouble. Let me at that guy that preached against me and hated me and preached against sin and tried to destroy me. Let me at him. And the devil said, let me at Moses. And Michael the archangel said, you ain't going to get him. You ain't going to get him. Now, bear in mind, we're talking about punishment. God was punishing Moses. But he used Grandpa's paddle. That isn't all. He was taken to a better promised land than he was going to go to. I love this.
Moses, you done wrong. You know,
I remember one time Cindy did wrong and Ms. Howes thought she ought to have a spanking. And I didn't think she did. But I like to obey higher powers. Ms. Howes said she needs a spanking. So I took Cindy up there in the room and I said, now, Cindy, I'm going to put one hand over your little bottom like that. And I'm going to hit that hand. And I want you to cry. Throw a fit. I bent Cindy over myself. Put my hand like that. Now, I was punishing Cindy, but I was using Grandpa's paddle. And God said, his justice required him to punish, and it was a punishment. Moses didn't get to see Bethlehem. He didn't get to see the Mount of Olives. He didn't get to cross the Jordan River. He didn't get to see the Battle of Jericho. He didn't. Joshua had all of that, and God, he was punished, and it hurt.
But God softened the blows with Grandpa's paddle because of what Moses had done for God. I preached a sermon like this one time, got in all kinds of trouble, but it's in the Bible, whether you want it, whether you like it or not, it's in the Bible. I'm saying that God Almighty considers the entire picture when time comes for judgment.
And God, if God had taken somebody who had never served him, I'm saying this, I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, serve him with all you can, all your heart, and with all your might. And all of us are going to make mistakes, and we make mistakes. God is just, and God's going to have to punish us. But sometimes he'll use Grandpa's paddle.
Moses wanted to see the cedars of Lebanon, but instead he saw the tree of life.
Moses wanted to see the Jordan River, but instead he got to see the river of life. Moses wanted to see the promised land, but he got to see the promiser of the land. Moses wanted to go to the holy ground, but he got to go to the holy city.
Doesn't sound like a great deal of punishment to me. Now, he didn't. Moses would like to have gone to the promised land and then gone to the holy city. He did not get to do both. And God did punish him because Moses would like to have seen the promised land. I heard Dr. Hudson was ill. One night they thought he wouldn't make it the next day. I flew down to Nashville by myself, just flew down, saw him about 30 minutes, came back, and went down for one reason. I went down to ask him if there's anything that he wanted done for his family after his death. And I said, I want to take care of it for you if I possibly can, and I believe I can. He told me one thing he'd like to have done for his family, and I made him a promise I'd take care of it, and I won't tell you what it is. It doesn't matter. But I made him a promise. Now that softened his death. He said, I believe I could die more in peace if that promise were made.
God takes Moses and says, you can't go to the promised land. You can't see the Mount of Olives. You can't see Bethlehem. You can't see Jerusalem. You can't see Mount Zion, or earthly Mount Zion. And you can't see the promised land.
But he said, I've got to punish you. But he takes Grandpa's paddle. Moses wanted to see Mount Moriah, but God took him to the heavenly Mount Zion.
Moses wanted to see the land that must be won, but God took him to the land that was already won. Moses wanted to see Jerusalem,
but he got to see the new Jerusalem.
Moses wanted to see Canaan, but he got to see Jesus.
Moses gives up his friends and gets the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What am I saying? Moses must be punished. And something was taken away. But it's softened by his refusing the throne of Egypt. It's softened by his willingness to be the deliverer of a slave people.
It's softened by his going to Pharaoh and saying, let my people go. It's softened by his parting the waters of the Red Sea. It's softened by his leading 3.5 million Jews for 40 years in the wilderness. It's softened by staying with them for those 40 years. It's softened by the building of the tabernacle. It's softened by the going of Mount Sinai.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, every single one of us is going to make a mistake one of these days. I don't mean we're going to go out and kill somebody or do something vile or wicked or what we'd call deep sin. And by the way, Moses' sin here was not what you'd call it. Moses didn't kill anybody here. He did one time back yonder, didn't get punished for it. I wish I knew I'd get by with that. But God said, now, Moses, I remember Mount Sinai, and I remember the Red Sea, and I remember those times you went to Pharaoh, and I remember how you wouldn't compromise.
I remember how Pharaoh said, go ahead and worship God in the land, and you said, we're going to leave and worship God in the promised land. Pharaoh said, okay. Worship God, but don't go very far. And Moses said, we're going to go all the way. We're not going to be pussyfooters. We're going all the way. And Pharaoh said, well, Moses, go, but leave the children here. And they may get sick out there. It's dangerous. Moses said, we're taking the kids too. But Pharaoh said, okay, Moses, leave your cattle here. And Moses said, we are not leaving one single thing here. We're not leaving a cattle, a cow. We're not leaving the ears of a cow. We're not leaving the tail of a cow. We're not leaving the skin of a cow. We're not leaving the teeth of a cow. We're not leaving one hoof. God said, I remember that. I remember that. Moses, I remember now. I've got to punish you, Moses. I've got to bring you up to Mount Nebo. That's my justice. But he said, while I punish you, I'm going to spank you with Grandpa's paddle. All I say is this, and I'll be through. Yes, you and I will make mistakes. And yes, we must be punished. And yes, we will be punished. And yes, it will smart and hurt. But if, when God looks at the entire picture, he may use Grandpa's paddle. Only man in the world God ever performed his funeral service. Only man in the world where nobody attended. And by the way, to this day, nobody knows where Moses is buried. You can go to the Promised Land. You can find Absalom's grave. You can find Rachel's grave. You can find the graves of what they think of the graves of many of the great Christians in the Old Testament and New. But you'll never have anybody say, Moses is buried right there. You know why? God didn't want human hands messing with Moses. And God said, Moses, several things, and I've already given them to you. He said, in the first place, Moses, you're not going to suffer. You're not going to suffer. He said, in the second place, I'll take care of your internment. He said, in the third place, I'm going to have angels to guard your body in the grave. He said, in the fourth place, I'm going to take you to a better promised land than you would have gone to anyway. Are you saying, Brother Hiles, that God doesn't punish people that serve him who go into sin? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that God will not be just. God is just. And Moses did not get to see the promised land, and Moses did pay for it by his life. But wait a minute. You remember how most people died who disobeyed God? How did Achan die? They took him out and stoned him to death. But not Moses. Moses didn't go up there and say, boy, I got a temperature, I better call the doctor. Moses didn't say, for example, Dr. Hudson today was later than he's supposed to be there because he had to have a catheterization or something before he left. It's something he had to do, and he couldn't make it as early as he was going to make it, his own time, but we were going to have a little snack with him beforehand. And he was in pain, and you could tell it. Dr. Hudson was in such pain when they took him to the hospital, he was screaming at the top of his voice for hours, they said, before they finally took him to the hospital. Moses never felt any pain. Moses never had a disease. Moses had no discomfort whatsoever. He goes up the top of the mount. Now, look, I've been here at this church 35 years. I've been the pastor of some of you people for 35 years. Moses had been the pastor of all those people for 40 years. Can you imagine? Here are the people. God said, Moses, you can't go in. I want you to go up on Mount Nebo, and I want you're going to die up there by the word of the Lord. Moses walks up lonely, paying the price. Leaves his loved ones, his friends, no family, no members, no deacons, nobody to care. He walks up by himself. Dear God, what disease am I going to die with? He said, none. Well, what kind of ailment? Heart attack? Cancer? God said, no, my word. He said, come on home. Just come on home. Lester Roloff thought that God was going to do him that way. Brother Roloff, he didn't believe in being sick. He practiced it, but didn't believe in it. I was down at his place one time, and he was writhing in pain. He had some kind of an attack. He was on the floor writhing in pain. He had preached sicknesses of the devil. Nobody ought to get sick. And he was writhing in pain. I said, Lester, you're sick. He said, no, I'm being afflicted. He wouldn't admit he was sick.
But you know, Lester never got sick and died. He never got an awful disease and lingered. He had just flying up in the sky one day, and God said, Lester, you're getting pretty close to where I live. Won't you come on up here? And God just took him on to heaven. You know why I think God did that, Brother Olaf? I think he did it because Brother Olaf had fought the battle all those years. I'm not saying that Dr. John Rice, for example, Dr. Rice suffered. He lingered and suffered. I'm not saying that's always what God always does. But in Brother Roloff's case, he did it. And in Moses' case, he did it. I'm simply saying, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. I'm going to give him my heart, my mind, my body, and my soul. And if perchance, and I will make some mistake someday, I may smite the deacons twice, but I want to so love him and so serve him and so fight the devil till when God has to punish me. He doesn't say to the Israelites, pick up stones and stone the guy to death. He'll pick up Grandpa's paddle. And though it'll hurt, and I'll suffer, he'll use Papa, Grandpa's paddle when he punishes me. Why don't you decide to serve him? Boy, you say, I wish I could be like Moses. Won't you? I wish I could die like Moses. Won't you live like him then? He gave up the throne of Egypt, identified himself with God's people. And God said, I've got to punish you. My justice is at stake. And you've got to give up something. You'll not see Jerusalem. You'll not see Bethlehem. You'll not see the Mount of Olives. You'll not see Jericho. You'll not see the Jordan. You'll not go in there. Just going up and die. And Moses goes up to die. And God says, come on home. And his service is performed by Jehovah God. Angels dig his grave. Angels give the eulogy. Angels sing the last songs of the last rites. And the devil said, let me have that body. Let me have that body. And Michael said, you can't have it, buddy. This is God's. This body was given to God for 120 years, and you're not going to have it now. Moses suffered. He suffered deeply. But he didn't suffer like he would have suffered if he hadn't served God all those years. God punished him, but he used Grandpa's paddle to do it. What kind of life are you living? I guess I'm saying, are you gathering up any brownie points? Out at the grade school, they have demerits. You know about that. All y'all know about the demerits. One time I was at the grade school. When the boys are bad, they still make them go out in the hallway and put their nose against the wall. They used to do that years ago. I walked in the grade school one day, and nobody knew I was in 15 miles of the grade school. Hadn't been there for months. I had to walk in there for some reason. One little boy was in the hallway and had his nose stuck up against the wall. He was out there by himself. I walked in. He looked, and I heard him say, what an awful time for him to come around. But you know, if you'll check on your child's report card, you'll see a place where it says demerits. You'll also see a place where it says merits. And Moses had enough quality points built up and enough merits built up to where he had to suffer and he had to be punished. But I love it. He was punished with Grandpa's paddle. Shall we stand, please?